journey of a lifetime.
From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of heart through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين All praise is due to Allah عز وجل Our sustainer, our provider, cherisher and nourisher. Abundance of peace and blessings be upon Nabi Akram, Nuri Mujassam, Shahe Bani Adam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions alayhim ridwan. Subhanallah, dear viewers of Madani channel. The blessings of the 8th, 9th and 10th of Dhul Hijjah is beyond our imagination. We are speaking about that month and those Mubarak and blessed auspicious days that staying awake during the night of any of these 10 days is almost equivalent to Laylatul Qadr.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The thawab and the reward Allah Kareem blesses and bestows upon His servants in Laylatul Qadr shall be bestowed upon the person who spent a single night from the 10 nights in worship. Subhanallah. We are speaking about that night which is beyond our imagination. Subhanallah. You and I and we all who are living at this very moment are so fortunate, and even more fortunate are those brothers who have been given the ability and tawfiq to perform their qurbani, subhanallah. Allah Kareem has blessed them with wealth and they went out of their way in search for an animal, and subhanallah, with love and affection, with a tender heart, with full sincerity, they purchased that animal only for attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Remember, dear viewers of Madani channel, a famous companion by the name of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma relates on the day of Eid al-Adha, yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the messenger of Allah azza wa jalla said, Ma amila adamiyun fi hadha al-yawmi afdal min damin yuhraq. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yani, no person's action on this day is better than shedding blood. Yani, performing qurbani. Allahu Akbar. So many numerous ahadith on the day of Yawmun Nahr, yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. The actions liked most by Allah Azza wa Jalla is for a person to shed blood. Yani, to perform qurbani in his path. To perform a sacrifice in his path. The sacrificial animal will come forth on the day of judgment with its horns, with its hair, with its hooves, and the blood of qurbani is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jalla before it falls upon the earth. So readily perform it with a pleasant heart. Subhanallah. This is the hadith, ya Sayyidi, of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And ya Sayyidi, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Once again, it's an honor to be with Mulana Sahib in this program. And mashallah, Azza wa Jalla speak about the virtues and the blessings of this Mubarak and blessed day to come. Subhanallah. Sayyidi, people ask questions, you know, that Qurbani is so special. And, you know, distributing meat, feeding others, being hospitable on this day is a Mubarak day. And that is why, subhanAllah, even according to some narrations, we are not supposed to fast in this day. It's haram to fast in the days of Eid, the 10th, 11th and 12th. These are the days of eating, drinking and Allah dhikr, subhanAllah. The thing is that every day Allah Azza wa Jalla feeds us, right? Mm. Every day Allah provides for us. But that particular day, those particular days, Allah Kareem is the host and His bandas are the guests.
Allah,
subhanAllah. And it does not, it's not appropriate that a banda is called to the table spread to consume and have a meal and he says, I'm fasting. Mm-hmm. Allahu Akbar. This is a form of disrespect. And that is why it is haram. It is forbidden and prohibited for a person to fast on this day. Allah Kareem wants you to eat and drink and praise Him. Subhanallah. Worship Him. So it's a Mubarak day, ya Sayyidi. So people say we should share, we should, you know, give charity in the path of Allah. Then why is there a need for us to give qurbani meat to the poor people? Why don't we just give the value of that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Why can't we just give the meat itself and don't have to convince a person to do qurbani, or the person who's bringing the qurbani himself? Yeah. He can just give the money for it, subhanallah. But some ulama ikram mentioned, ya Sayyidi, about the virtue and the blessings of eating halal animals. And they mentioned that emulating and following the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And look at the blessing of Allah that he made these animals halal for us. And he says, by eating halal animals that have been slaughtered in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal Sayyidi, he says, subhanallah, that this causes a person's intellect to increase
Allah,
and gives him a good health.
Subhanallah.
And thus, subhanallah, we even we instead of distributing that money and distributing meat, we are ordered to consume this meat ourselves also, because it was cut.
It's mentioned that laham means meat.
Ji.
And this is the king of all foods. In dunya and even in akhirah as well.
The king of all foods. Subhanallah. Just halal, tayyib food, Sayyidi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people talk about having a good diet, eating good, wholesome foods, pure foods, healthy foods. I mean, you're not going to find more healthy than that animal which is sacrificed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name.
Name. You know? Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And you're making it halal.
Kya baat hai,
so Allah Jalla Jalaluhu only accepts that which is pure.
Which is pure.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. We say Allah Pak.
Subhanallah.
He is pure and only accepts that which is pure.
Mashallah.
There's tremendous virtues and blessings. It's not just about sacrificing an animal. In fact, when we are slaughtering the animal, sacrificing the animal, don't just look at it that it's a normal, ordinary animal.
Jesus.
And I'm just cutting it to consume the meat. Yes, that's the benefit you're going to get in this world. But there's much more virtues in the hereafter for this type of animal, a sacrificial animal. And you know something very interesting.
Wonderful.
Is that the Islamic method of sacrificing is the most humane.
Acha.
The least amount of pain is inflicted on the animal.
Allah.
Because you are severing, and this is why our deen teaches us, make sure your knife is absolutely sharp. When you're sharpening it, don't sharpen it in front of the animals. Don't sacrifice an animal in front of others. So, you know, Islam is very sensitive to these
very
things.
Sensitive, you know, very sensitive.
Animal rights are there.
Right.
Mercy to animals are there.
Also there, right.
You know, so when you're sacrificing, it must be quick, a quick pressure of the knife. So that you cut the esophagus, the gullet, and the two jugular veins.
Right, subhanallah.
And subhanallah, this is how the blood gets drained out. You don't cut till the spinal cord. Because blood is a good medium of bacteria to grow. So the more blood that is inside the animal, the more bacteria this is going to be.
Right.
Now you are letting the blood drain out. So this animal is pure, is halal, and is healthy as well.
Subhanallah.
So when you look at that animal, don't just look at that animal, this is an ordinary animal. No. This animal, as you mentioned, the narration, is going to appear on the day of judgment. This animal that you're touching, the fibers, the wool fibers, the hairs, you are going to get reward for each of those hairs.
Subhanallah.
That's how we must look at this animal. We must look at this animal, that this animal is going to be my conveyance, my transport on the bridge of Sirat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And this animal is going to be weighed on the side of the good deeds on the scale.
What a way to think, Sayyidi. Subhanallah.
This is how we must look at this animal.
But this is the thing, we don't, Sayyidi. Actually, people at that time are in a different josh. And we lose, you know, in essence, we are speaking about being tender. Hearted towards that animal.
Yes.
That animal, Sayyidi, if you pay attention, if you all pay attention for a moment, gunehgar kon? Who is a sinner? If we ask ourselves this question, we are sinners. Absolutely. That animal is sinless. It did not commit any sin in guna. Yes, there will be justice, as ulama ikram mentioned in the books of ahadith.
Yes.
That justice will be served between them and they're going to be perished back to dust. But as we are human, so we commit gunas and sins.
Right.
But how, what a great deal this is, Yani. In other words, that poor and innocent animal is becoming an expiation for our sins that we committed. Guna hum kare and bhare wo. In other words, it's like that. Because the order has been given to us to sacrifice an animal. So why should we not be kind and tender-hearted and soft-hearted and good and humble towards that animal that is going to have our sins forgiven? Yani, it's like, in other words, yes, Sayyidi, it is expiation for our sins. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah Azza wa Jalla made this nizam such. So we're supposed to have a soft heart towards that animal. Yani, Niyat is there. And together with niyat, we have our sincerity, subhanAllah, which also plays a vital role in our acceptance of qurbani. But subhanAllah, remember, Sayyidi, that, every other amal and every other action, the acceptance is only hoped for after that amal is done.
Mm.
After that action is performed. But qurbani is that action that before it's done, aapko sawab mila hai, subhanAllah. Aapke gunah muaf kiye gaye hain.
Before the blood touches the ground, the sins are forgiven.
The sins are forgiven. Every other action afterwards, but this one action, ya Sayyidi, before. But the problem is that we see Islamic brothers that when they slaughter, ya Sayyidi, I'm sure Mons have also passed this, and in South Africa, we often see people make mistakes. No matter how much you remind, one animal is shown how the other animal has passed on. One animal is still passing on, the life has not left the body, they start to skin the animal. Sometimes we see other things happening, and other things happening. Sometimes, astaghfirullah, alayyadu billah, people clap hands to see the tamasha, how the animal is running half.
So they use it as a form of entertainment.
Entertainment, for the spectacle, that's all. For the eyes,
What you're saying is so important, especially for the next generation. That, you know, we have to bring that proper environment and the training of the next generation, that this is not just fun and games. This is not entertainment.
100%.
This is actually an ibadat.
100%.
That we are doing this for the pleasure of Allah Azawajal. You mentioned earlier that why don't we just give the value of the money? And so, why are we cutting? Because this is an order of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
That if you fulfill the criteria, then you have to cut the animal, sacrifice the animal.
Sacrifice the animal.
And that's also in following in the footsteps of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine if we all stop. If everybody gave the value of the money to the poor people, imagine. The next generation, what are they going to do? They won't know anything about how to sacrifice an animal, how to do this ibadat, because now we're sending our money overseas, we're sending it to other poor people. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya said something so profound, and this is part of, I would say, psychology as well. But something where, if you want, an Eid day is a joyous occasion where we're supposed to be spreading happiness. And there's one way that we can spread multiple happinesses across the board. And he says that, see, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with an abundance of wealth, and let's say you have employees, then you're going to make sure that, you know, whatever, maybe you're cutting 10 animals, 100 animals, you're making parcels, meat parcels, you're giving it to them as gifts, like Eid gifts, we can say. So Amir al-Sunnat says, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, instead of giving the meat parcel, why don't you select from your employees, your Muslim employees, and tell them, you know what, I'm giving you this money to buy your own animal. You take this money, you go to the farm. Imagine that poor man that never thought in his life he's going to perform qurbani. You gave him money, he's going, selecting his own animal. What joy and happiness you are creating in his heart, in his children's heart, in his family's heart. And over and above that, he says that he's going to come home, they're going to sacrifice at home. And then this poor man who never even thought of performing qurbani, never even thought about helping other poor people, he's going to make meat parcels.
Wow.
He's going to give his poor family members.
SubhanAllah. Before he used to only receive from people, but now he is the giver himself.
Now he's giving.
Kya baat hai? What a mindset.
What a mindset, Uzur. And who facilitated that? The person that has in excess, and how many happinesses you are spreading across the board. And to enter happiness into the heart of a Muslim is a great virtue.
Subhanallah.
And primarily for these days of Eid, of Yom al-Nahar, which is the days of slaughtering or sacrificing. So we should think about this. Try to do this, inshallah, Azawajal, where we can empower somebody to make their own sacrifice.
Kya baat hai, subhanallah. If only we can think in that way, Sayyidi.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So I would say, ya Sayyidi, that Allah Kareem has blessed us with the opportunity to perform His dhikr in these Mubarak days. Fortunate are those who worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla. And fortunate are those now who are getting all prepared for tomorrow, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, in South Africa especially, and in various parts of the world where a qurbani shall be performed tomorrow. So I think as a guideline, one of the points Masab mentioned is very, very important, because we need to attain virtues and blessings, right? And the only time we can attain this is if that action was carried out in its correct manner.
Very
now,
important.
According to one hadith, Ya Sayyidi, Rasulullah SAW says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has indeed ordered for kindness to be shown to everything. It's a general statement. No matter what the entity is, Ya Sayyidi, whether it is a plant, whether it is a tree, whether it is a mosquito, whether it's an insect, and any creature, Allah Kareem did not specify, but rather in, He specified it in this way here, that kindness is to be shown to everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And then He says, إِذَا زَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. And when you slaughter, then slaughter well. Allahu Akbar. Well, يُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفَرَتَهُ. And let one of you sharpen the blade. Let one of you sharpen and prepare the blade. Well, يَرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. And then subhanAllah, He says, grant ease to the animal being sacrificed.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. So if we take this one beautiful hadith to carry out this action tomorrow in the best of manners. Because Hazrat, you know, when we really think about qurbani itself, kitne saalo se hum kitne bakri zaba kar chuke hain. You know, how many years people are giving the qurbani.
Ji.
But if you think about what's meant by tender heartedness, you know, you often think, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not have any ram before Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
It was his own son that was there.
Allah.
And if it was somebody to actually do this for his own aulad, what would have went through the heart, even though you know you're going to carry out this action? But when the action is being carried out, are you going to do it very strongly and roughly? Or a person do it with tears in his eyes, imagining that my sins are going to be forgiven due to this animal.
Allah.
This animal becomes the maqsad and the reason for my sins to be pardoned. Yet, this animal never committed the sins. I committed the sins. But this animal is now becoming the reason for expiating my sins. Allahu Akbar. So, in this way here, Ya Sayyidi, you know, there was a person... though our discussion is virtues, inshallah, we want to attain virtues, but the virtues can be attained if we can learn how to show ihsan, how to do ihsan, how to be humble, how Allah. To be kind-hearted.
Yes,
Ya Sayyidi.
Yes.
So it is stated that one person, he went to slaughter his goat, right? So he went to the enclosure, he opened the door, he brought the animal forward, it slipped from his hands, from his grip. And that goat ran straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu
Akbar. Allah. This person came from behind and he grabbed its leg and he began to drag it back to
Allah.
Its place. So Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the animal, have patience upon the command of Allah azza wa jalla. Have patience, oh goat, have patience, because that animal was in anxiety. It was being chased, it was being dragged and pulled before the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After which the Prophet of Allah, look at his rahmat, look at his mercy. First he calmed that animal down. He calmed that animal that was excited already and said, Isbir, have sabr upon the command of Allah azza wa jalla. And oh butcher, take it to its slaughter place in the best of manners. What an advice, Ya Sayyidi. You are going to slaughter this animal, then you don't have to drag. You don't have to take the animal in this manner, but rather with a tender heart, with a soft heart, with a humbled heart, because this is the qurban you're performing to attain Allah's pleasure. Allah is going to only be happy when you have done that action in the correct manner.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, Huzur, it's about, as you said, people are just waiting with their cell phones at times. This is the zaman of technology, the zaman of cell phones and internet and social media. Right. And you must see, today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, already the internet will be flooded with videos where animals are running, people chasing, people catching, people interfering, people hurting. And such content is uploaded, and it makes me a majboor to think at times, why would people want to do this for the sake of likes, for the sake of entertainment? Laughing at that animal that caused your sins to get forgiven. Laughing at that animal that's going to ride you on, going to take you as a ride on Qul Sirat. How can we even think in that way, Ya Sayyidi?
Huzur, when spirituality is on the decrease, this is what's going to happen. A person who has strong iman, high spiritual levels, it can never behave like this.
Allahu
can never Allah, treat Allah, animal Allah. Like this. If we look at our akabirin, we look at the pious people, they were always patient and they were always
Bishak.
Even merciful to other creatures.
Bishak.
I remember the narration, subhanAllah azza wa jal, the great Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. So, after he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream and asked him, ma fa'ala Allah bika, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated you? He said, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu forgave all my sins. So the person said, what was the cause? What was the reason? He said, one day I was sitting to write one of my books. And so I was taking a little break and I put my my pen down. And along comes a fly. The fly was thirsty. So it sat there by the ink. It started drinking the ink.
Allah.
I thought the poor fly is thirsty, let him drink. I didn't chase him away.
Subhanallah, subhanallah,
after he drank enough and flew away, Then only I resumed to write my book. He said, because of having mercy for that fly, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu forgave my sins. And like this, you'll find so many other examples, real examples, that how the pious people, they would interact with other creatures, how they, what kind of mercy, and where did they learn this from? From Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's Rahmatul Lil Alameen, his mercy to all the universes. So when we are sacrificing that animal, slaughtering that animal, we must make sure that we are doing it properly. We are reading whatever is necessary, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. There's other du'as to read before, after as well. Make sure that, you know, we don't make it, as you said, a spectacle, a form of entertainment.
Entertainment.
Where people, and one of the muftis of Dawud Islami was mentioning, some people, maybe in certain areas they do this, that when the animal is slaughtered,
right,
then the blood that comes out, they feel like, you know, let me take some of that blood as for barakat.
Acha. Yeah. Allahu Akbar.
They were saying on Madani channel. I was surprised, like, oh, what? Really? Some people do this.
I have not yet seen this in South Africa, but
some parts of the world, possibly.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he was saying there's no such thing. The moment you touch that blood is impure. If it comes in your clothing, comes in your body, you have to make those things park and make it pure. And some people take it and they put it in, you know, by the premises or the boundaries of their houses for barakat and protection. So, no, there's no such thing. People have made these things up. So this is why it's important to have authentic knowledge. And for this topic in particular, the famous book, Piebald Horse Rider, is there. You will find many virtues of doing the udhiya, the qurbani. You will find, for example, the inedible parts, those parts that we're not allowed to consume. So many people are eating those things. It's forbidden to eat those things.
Haram to eat.
Yes, I mean, we have to know, we have to empower ourselves with what we're able to do, what we're not able to do. Some people, you tell them that you can't eat this. No, but I enjoy it, it's tasty. Your responsibility is to learn and then tell the next people. The next person, tell them, you know what? Is written that this is not allowed. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he mentioned about 22 parts approximately.
Achcha.
That one is not allowed to eat from the animal.
Achcha.
Then you'll have, for example, defects of the animal.
Right.
Because people pulling the tail and pulling the wool of the sheep, for example. And, you know, making fun of the animal and laughing. And Eid is not about that. Eid is about, and remember, as the Quran mentions that the blood doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's your taqwa.
Allah.
It is your piety.
Allah Akbar. Not the meat or the flesh.
Yes. Yes. It's a piety of the person. Your sincerity. So how sincere are we? That is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this was found in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam as well.
Absolutely.
That is why this becomes the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Because he was so sincere. His son was so sincere. He wanted to be sacrificed. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam wanted to sacrifice. The son accepted this offer and he wanted to be sacrificed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It was already accepted and it came with so much of sincerity, Ya Sayyidi. And that is why it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in one verse, فَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ and give glad tidings, O my beloved, to the humble ones. The ulama ikram mentioned that here, a humble refers to those who with sincerity and with humbleness sacrifice in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Their hearts tremble. There's another verse, Ya Sayyidi. Allah Kareem states in the Holy Quran, we want to know who is humble people, right? How can you know which is a humble person? Humble doesn't mean he's sitting on the ground, he's eating, he's such a simple man, he wears torn clothes all the time. We're not referring to only humble from that angle, but listen to this verse, subhanAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alladheena idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum wassabireena ala ma asabahum. And say over here that when Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioned, their hearts begin to fear.
Allah.
And who patiently endure whatever befalls them. They are the humble one, the simple one. And those who keep salah established and who spend part of what we have provided to them.
Subhanallah.
So from the wealth Allah has blessed upon us, has given us, bestowed upon us, we spend that to attain His pleasure, Ya Sayyidi. Today we don't have to sacrifice our awlad in that sense. But in essence itself, it is an animal, but it is treated as if it's your own, Ya Sayyidi. And with so much of care and love and with tears in the eyes, and fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla at that moment. But what we see from the eyes is that we need like five people to hold that animal, which is good because you don't want the animal to kick, you don't want the animal to cause any, you know, you don't want any unforeseen situations there, right? But then the whole focus becomes hold, catch, grip, hold, you know, point here, point there. And we see this more for the bigger animals, like you're talking about the cow and the buffalo and the bull, because that is something that everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
How this is going to happen? How the camel is going to be slaughtered? And everyone got their phones out, but where is the sincerity at the time? Even the owner of the person whose qurbani is being done.
Right.
Yes, you are commanded to stand next to the animal and watch the animal, but doesn't mean without no heart being there. The heart has to be present, yes, Sayyidi.
You know, Zur, back in the days, this is what they used to do. They should bring in the animal, the sacrificial animal, maybe 2 weeks before, 1 week before, and they would actually develop a relationship with that animal, like a pet. Because, I mean, you're going, you're feeding it, you're giving it water, you're patting it, and you develop like closeness to it, because now it's like your pet. And now comes the day of sacrifice. And, you know, you feel like, hey, you know, I'm so close to this animal. You know, when I, as soon as I enter there, the animal looks at me, gets happy and, you know, comes to me. And now I have to take its life. That is real sacrifice.
Subhanallah, you know? Subhanallah.
And the thing is, you know, Islam is the name of sacrifice. Because we end our year with sacrifice and we start our year with sacrifice as well. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and Shuhada of Karbala, there was sacrifice as well to keep the flag of Islam flying high. So this idea of sacrifice in Islam is from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the sacrifices all Anbiya alayhi salam, they had undergone. And linked to sacrifice is also patience. That whatever difficulty we are facing in our life, how many tests Ibrahim alayhi salam went through? And he passed every single one in with flying colors.
Allahu Akbar.
Whether it was, you know, being hurled towards the fire, whether it was the sacrifice of his son. So these were all the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed to him. And he passed all of it.
All of it.
He was patient. Yes, he was
patient. To the extent, yes, Sayyidi, it is stated that when he was at the age of 7, Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded him, Aslim. And the Quran speaks about this. And recall when his Lord said to him, Submit. He was 7 years old, according to the Tafsir of the Quran. And what was the reply at the age of 7, at the tender age of 7, yes, Sayyidi? What he says, Qala aslamtu li rabbil alameen. He humbly said, I have submitted to the one who is the Lord of all the worlds. At the age of 7, what a profound reply he had given, yes, Sayyidi. Aajkal ki bachche jo 7 saal ke hain, who are 7 years old, would they ever give a reply like this? But subhanallah, this was a reply of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And now, according to the tafsir and commentaries of the Holy Quran, at the age of 13, when his son was 13, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is when he had the dream of blood.
Right.
And he had realized that he has to sacrifice his son, right? But that was the age of 13 when he also given a very beautiful answer to his father, Abba Huzur, you do as you have been commanded to
Allah.
Do, and you will surely find me patiently enduring.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. One reply is a son who is only 13. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is 7, and when Allah said, Submit, Aslim. At the age of 7, he says, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. I have submitted to the one who is the Lord of all the worlds. Subhanallah. So, from this age, now Muasab spoke about his sacrifices, his uncle, the pressure, Namrud, being born in the time of Namrud, that tyrant king who caused so much of pressure upon this great Khalil of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But throughout his life, ya Sayyidi, he only demonstrated sabr, perseverance, patience, tolerance, and so much of tolerance. And he taught us how to be selfless, how to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
True.
You want things, I want things. We all need things in our lives. And we ask for it. We beg Allah. After so long at times in our last stages, we get what we want in life. You know, sometimes a person becomes the owner of a vehicle after his 50s. I have met a brother recently. Actually, today I have seen him as well for Salatul Maghrib. And I know this brother never ever owned a vehicle until he reached the age of 55.
Allah.
So something that he has wanted for such a long time, he got it now at the age of 55. How would he treasure that? Think for a moment, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam never have awlad. He continued asking Allah for awlad. And after the at the age of 99, when Allah blessed him with a child, and now the hukum is to go and leave your child.
Allah.
How much of selflessness, ya Sayyidi? Something that you wanted all your life, that you waited for patiently. All Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are patient, subhanAllah, in the face of tribulations and trials and tribulations. But here Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam taught the ummah, the coming generations, Subhanallah, that this is how we need to submit. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, our chance is tomorrow, Ya Sayyidi, that we don't have to go to that length and that extent of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it obligatory upon us to revive this sunnah, to revive this remembrance, that act of those three personalities, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that act of saying, you know, the action of saying, when the knife was not running on the blessed neck of his son, and when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was on his way coming with the ram, and he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had realized, but then so he says, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam replied, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. This tasbih, Subhanallah, is associated and linked to these three great personalities. One angel, and two prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to keep this takbiriyat tashriq alive, Ya Sayyidi. And he says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ, that we should remember Allah Azza wa Jalla in these specified days. And the ulama ikram mentioned that dhikr of Allah is throughout the year. A person should never ever feel shy to make Allah dhikr. This is something that you can make whenever. Yes, namaz has time, hajj has time, zakat has time. There's time for every ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but this is one ibadat that has no time. You can do it whenever and how much you want.
Yes.
But in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to remember Him even more in the specified days. And the ulama ikram mentioned the specified days here in this verse refers to takbiriyat tashriq, Ya Sayyidi.
Allah.
That we should proclaim Allah dhikr by reciting takbiriyat tashriq, remembering this qurbani, remembering the sacrifice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not treat this like a normal sadaqah. Do not treat this like a normal qurbani and then get your hands, you know, mess for a little while and go and wash up and then it's like, you know, nothing happened in the day. This is the day where after even sacrificing the animal, sit around there and contemplate over the fact that now I need to start afresh, Ya Sayyidi. What is your opinion with regards to this? We can start a new life altogether.
Even scholars have told us, have advised us that, you know, when you're slaughtering that animal, then, you know, you must picture that you are slaughtering your ego.
Allah.
Slaughtering your bad habits,
Allah,
sinful
Allah,
activities,
Allah, Allah, Allah.
The internal spiritual diseases that a person has. Just think that you are cutting that as well. You're slaughtering that.
Way to say, say,
you know, so it's not just the outward, it's also the inward as well. The sincerity, the taqwa, these things. So submission, you mentioned submission because a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we only, you know, start living our lives to please Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, then you'll get that sukoon. Everybody's looking for sukoon. Tranquility, happiness, fulfillment. If you're doing the wrong things, how are we going to get that? That's going to be further away from us. But if we submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, has commanded us, inshallah ta'ala, you know, the kind of fulfillment you will have, the kind of tranquility you will have in your heart, your mind, your home, that you won't find it anywhere else.
Alhamdulillah.
And as it is mentioned, that Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub, that in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies the contentment of the hearts. So, you know, dhikr is something, also durud-e paak, istighfar, these things, we must keep our tongues moist with it. One other thing we learn, that subhanallah azza wa jal, is obedience. This is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you and I.
Subhanallah. I mean, obedience.
Obedience. We perform salah, it's not benefiting Allah Jalla Jalla, it's benefiting us. Right? We're fulfilling a command and then so we save ourselves from punishment through His mercy.
Right.
But what He wants is obedience. That He tells us, do this, we do this. Don't do this, we don't do this. And another thing we learn, subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, which is a great virtue, if a person truly has, and that is to have that yaqeen, that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they were hurling Ibrahim alayhi salam to the fire. You know, it's mentioned, Hajj Abdul Habib Sahib, Rukn Ashura was mentioning, he said that the angel in charge of the rain quickly came down. As he's on his way to the fire, catapulted,
Allah,
ask if you need any help, I'll extinguish the fire. He said, no, I don't need anything from you.
Subhanallah.
My Allah knows what's happening to me. Then the angel of the wind came. He said, oh Ibrahim, alayhi salam, ask me, I'll blow away this fire. I don't need anything from you. Allah knows my condition. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, finally he comes. He says, you don't want any help from us angels? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I'm not going to ask. My beloved Allah knows my condition. If He's happy, I'm happy. And so he mentioned something very beautiful. One side is aql, one side is ishq. So the logic, the rationalism is saying, hey, you're going to the fire, you're going to burn and perish. But the ishq and the love is saying that my Allah is happy, then I am happy. Throw me into the fire.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So, I mean, we as well, we are there to follow in the footsteps of the pious people. Anbiya alayhi salam, beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, learn, listen, read how they lived their lives. Life is too short. I mean, even on Eid day, how many people, family members that no communication, nothing. You know, they didn't accept my invitation. Why must I phone them? They don't phone me. I mean, this is all childish things. This is immature. Tomorrow the person is gone and then you're going to have regrets. Hey, I should have, man. I should have at least sent a message at least. Eid day, be the better person and make the call. Or send a message. The person is living on the other side of the world. Send a message at least. You know, because there's no time. Time is fast. Life is short. There's no time to get involved in all of these things. This is what Shaitan wants. Shaitan wants us to be bitter enemies of each other. He doesn't want us to, you know, the family unity to be there. So, be the hero of the family. Be the peacemaker of the family.
Beautiful advice, yes, Sayyidi. We are performing and reviving the Sunnah once again. Allah. Every year we're doing it. So, but do we have any connection with him? This is a question to ask. We're following his Sunnah, but do we have any connection with him? We take his name in our 5 daily salahs. We recite Darood upon Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah to shower mercy upon him in our salah. So the time you will have connection with him is when a believer does not know of lima, why and kaifa, how. The believer simply obeys without any objection. This is the believer. He acts upon the command of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he sacrifices his life without any questioning. So this is exactly how Nabi Ismail submitted. Not lima. Why Abba? Why Allah Pak wants to do this? And kaifa? How this is going to happen, my dad? Abba, you just do as you have been commanded to do. He never asked his father further questions, ya Sayyidi. He never reasoned with his father to find a cheaper way out. A simple way out, because he is a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he would not find a way out because he would submit, and he taught the rest of the ummah how to submit, subhanallah. And this is the Jadde Amjad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the lineage of our Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our nafs is behind us, ya Sayyidi. Nafsi Ammara always wants us to do the wrong. We have the hidden shaitan, we have the open shaitan. However, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, it's a Mubarak moment, and I would say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, revive 5 nights, ya Sayyidi. Any Jannat paradise becomes binding upon the person who puts life into 5 nights. And the ulamas explain what means life here, meaning stay in worship in these 5 nights, because we want to attain virtue through Qurbani. So how do you attain virtue? Rasulullah says 5 nights are holy, holy nights. He says the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, Yawm al-Arafah, Yawm al-Nahr, yani 8th, 9th and 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. He says one night before Eid, Eid al-Fitr, the night of Eid, right? And he says the night of Bara'ah, the 15th night of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam. These are those 5 nights that you should give life to. You should be awake. But the question is that, imagine tomorrow I'm performing my Qurbani, through which I want to attain Allah's Qurb, but tonight I'm heedless. The Qurbani is one action, but you would allude to that point of sacrificing the animal is when we rectify the actions the night before. Forgive me. Tomorrow is a very big day for me, Allah. You're going to accept my qurbani, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Please accept it through your infinite mercy, through the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a person spends all night in ibadat, at least some portion of the night, because what's noticed is that the preps of the next day makes people want to sleep early. And we all say, no, let's go to bed early because tomorrow Fajr namaz, tomorrow we have to have a bath and go for Eidgah. But other days for flights and everything, we still sleep normal time, ya Sayyidi. And shaitan doesn't allow for us to go in the musalla, to choose one section of the home or go to the masjid and engage ourselves in Allah's ibadah. How can we be convinced to carry out this action that we should first perform Allah's ibadah and give life to these 5 nights? Many of us got all these nights. If you look at it from last Eid to this Eid, and then we also got Shaaban. But did we do as our Rasul told us to do? If the answer is no, then simply by one Qurbani, how do we want this one again, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jalla? That's why after so many Qurbanis, some people don't do one sheep, ya Sayyidi. They do 10, 15 sheep. Some people don't do one bull, they do many bull. But after sacrificing those bulls and everything, we see that the very next hour, things is back to normal. Once that animal is packed, is freezed up, or is distributed, our actions never normalize. We didn't come back as proper humans. We still have the same traits of swearing, shouting, yelling, cheating.
So what lessons are we taking then?
What lessons?
Because, I mean, end of the day, it's there also. Yes, we want those virtues of the sacrifice. Mm. But, I mean, some lesson we have to take. That, you know, if I'm not learning any lessons, if I'm not deriving any lessons, really, what benefits I'm getting there? Because we don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really accepted that or not. Yes, I have to make sure that my sources of income are halal to purchase that animal. Whatever needs to be done, it's sacrificed properly. But then at least some lesson we should
take. Some lesson we should take. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Dear viewers, you are watching the program, The Journey of a Lifetime, mashallah. And every day we were speaking something about Qurbani. Today, mashallah, Mawlana Naushad At-Tari Hafizahullah has given such amazing, priceless Madani pearls for us to follow. And following these Madani pearls, subhanallah, will have this action of Qurbani carried out in a more simplified and more better way, inshallah. Sure. Where we shall attain its virtues and blessings. Yes, you're doing it for the sake of Allah. Sincerity is the key ingredient to this Qurbani, dear viewers. Be sincere, be sincere, be sincere. We don't care what people say about how big the animal is, how much of money you spent. We should not bring in the pride at all of, yes, we are happy that Allah has given us the opportunity, but do not show off in front of other people that, look, my animal was more expensive than yours. I paid X amount of money, yours was cheaper, mine was more expensive. Because ostentation, showing off, bragging about something, if Allah dislikes one action of that, that whole money is forfeited.
Allah.
That whole purpose was gone.
Eats up the good deeds.
You can enjoy the meat and distribute the meat, but the thawab will be left behind. And people do this. You must stand there on Qurbani Day, Mahasab, and we see, you will hear conversations of this nature taking place. How much you paid? Yours is very big, man. Hey, mine is so small. I don't have a big one like yours. And sometimes shaitan use the other person to put pride in your heart, to say Allah. Something against what Allah Pak doesn't want you to say.
Mm. Well, when talking about obstacles now, we're talking about difficulties that maybe are there that are preventing you from sacrificing. Mm. There's something we mentioned earlier that linked to sacrifice is the idea of sabr.
Gee.
Now, sabr is not just patience, but it's to patiently persevere.
Patiently persevere.
To have patience and move forward. Mm. That if you fall down, you get up, dust yourself, and you keep marching forward. Mm. That's the only way you can reach your destination. Because if you fall down and you stay down, you can never reach your destination.
Never reach your destination.
You know, in boxing, they say that the KO, knockout. Mm. So if somebody hits the person and he falls to the ground, if he gets up, he's got a chance. If he stays down, then it's a knockout. Mm. So if you stay down, you're knocked out. Look, this life, in many aspects, is not pretty. Because it's a test. This is the test. The earthly life is a test. The obstacles are going to be there. The difficulties are going to be there.
Sure.
Doesn't mean you mustn't sacrifice. Mm. We still must sacrifice. Who had more difficulties and obstacles than the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The kind of obstacles they had, but they still sacrificed.
They still sacrificed.
They still preached the truth, which is Islam. Look at the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many difficulties and obstacles were there from his own people, from some of his family members like Abu Lahab. But he didn't stop. What they did to him, the boycott, the emotional torture, the physical torture, mental torture. But they still moved forward, and subhanallah azza wa jal, today after 1400 plus years, I mean, there's billions of Muslims around the globe.
So that's
there to empower us.
Wow.
That we learn from their lives. That no matter what obstacle, what blockage, what difficulty is in my pathway, I'm still going to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm still going to have patience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amazing, Ya Sayyidi. Allah Kareem, hameen amal ki tawfiq ata farmaye. Amal ki tawfiq ata farmaye. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So, certain things we already mentioned is not only about the external. The apparent, that you're doing the sacrifice itself, but internally, that you must sacrifice your ego, if there's takabbur, pride, and other such spiritual diseases, that this must be in your mind, that I'm cutting all of these things. I want to get rid of these things. I'm tired of all these bad habits, these evil, bad thoughts, negative thoughts. So internally and externally should be together, that I'm getting rid of all these things. And Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of the sacrifice, I want to sacrifice all these bad desires that I have. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, that's the deeper understanding that ulama ikram have given us. Because if that is not there, then you rightfully mentioned, Many qurbanis have come and gone. There's no change.
There's no change.
Because there was no internal change as well. Externally, we did the qurbani, the sacrifice.
So but internally, it never happened. Yes,
those spiritual ailments and cancers that were there, we didn't sacrifice. We didn't, you know, get rid of that.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Our beautiful deen has taught us so many things. Yes, yes. I'm just thinking as Mawsab is speaking, how deep this goes, subhanallah. It's beyond the ritual, huh? It's beyond this customs and ritual and rasmo rawaj. This is not just a rasam. This is not just a custom. But look beyond this yearly activity. It's not just a festival day of Yawm-e Madani channel. We've got to treat it very indifferent from the previous times that we perform our qurbani. And if your heart is sincere, you are humbled. And for the day, you show humbleness as well. Practice humbleness. It's a day of happiness, but we have to be humble because it's a day of shedding blood. And subhanallah, if we get this action right, our evil and shaitan that causes the evils within us will all come to an end. As Mawsab said, run the knife not on the animal alone. That's physically being slaughtered. But from a spiritual point of view, you are killing the lust, you are killing the ego, you are cutting the pride, you are cutting all those elements which shaitan uses to misguide us. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he slaughtered the four birds, Ya Sayyidi, the famous waqi about him, subhanallah. A very Sufiyana nukta, kehte na?
Ji, ji.
A Sufi point, a point of tasawwuf is that he placed the knife on these four birds, for example, rooster. And the rooster has a trait of lust. So we should think that we're putting a knife on the lust he cut the rooster that has lust.
Subhanallah.
If he slaughtered a peacock, the peacock has the reason of pride. It gives up pride. I'm so beautiful when it dances, especially. So the Sufiana point is that we should put a knife on the pride. It was an eagle that was also slaughtered. The eagle or the vulture has the pride of flying high above the sky. In between the sky and earth, it flies the highest from all the other birds. So you put a knife on this pride of mine that I should be humbled and walk on this earth.
Subhanallah.
What beautiful advice from the chicken to the rooster to the pigeon to the vulture. So we can, Ya Sayyidi, do the same. That I'm slaughtering this animal that has wool, that has good meat. I'm going to distribute, do all of that. But the fact that you committed the sins, guna ham kare, we do the wrong, we disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are sitting with a balance of thousands of gunas and sins right now. We can't even count them. So much of guna and sins. And now in a moment's time, all of that account is to get wiped out and deleted. Provided that you perform it with sincerity, with the through the rahmat of Allah, this is hope that He will pardon you without any accountability. His rahmat is vast. You and I cannot even imagine, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Mubarak to those families, mashallah, who are to perform qurbani. But this bayan, especially this nasihat which Mawsab has given, especially for the youth of today, if they grow up from now with this thought in their minds that is not about this ritual, but rather it is about reviving the sunnah which shall make us better humans, then when that child becomes sahibi nisab one day and perform qurbani, he will have a better understanding of qurbani itself. But because, Ya Sayyidi, from our childhood, we weren't taught this, you know. At times, that's why we see in general, people treat this as a ritual more than people who treat this as a sacrifice itself. It's a ritual, like a yearly thing. Okay, we're just waiting for the pamphlets to come out, when the animal's going to go for sale. It's a ritual just for us to now go and bargain again with the same farmer. It's the same situation. You just know, okay, right, how the pen going to be, how the animal's going to be brought forward, how you have to do the payment, how he's going to pack the meat, deliver it to you, and how you're going to enjoy the meat and distribute it to others. All it needs to be beyond that.
All those arrangements are in place, right? But it goes deeper. And all depending on what environment that the person is, the upbringing. Person must say that, you know what, I want to break that chain. If I was not taught, doesn't mean I'm not going to teach my kids. So Dawud Islam is there as a support structure. Be part of the success of Dawud Islam. There's so many courses, classes. Keep in touch with our Muballighin, Ulama Ikram, Darul Ifta, to empower yourself. So you can properly train the next generation. So then when they grow up, then you know they're properly trained with all of these things, the do's, the don'ts, the ins, the outs, and they can train the next generation as well.
MashaAllah. Subhanallah. So this advice is given is very profound. And may Allah Kareem give us tawfiq to practice upon this Madani pulse. And we have like 4 minutes, Ya Sayyidi, before we come to the end of tonight's program. And it's going in such a way that we wish we could take in more Madani pulse. and have them ready for tomorrow, inshallah, azza wa jalla. If somebody has seen something wrong there, maybe he should rectify it in a good way.
Yeah.
And educate the next brother who is not doing it the way you have learned it.
Mm-hmm.
So teach, inshallah, spread love, spread muhabbah. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, this as well is a form of reward and sawab to guide other people, mm-hmm. inshallah. Mm-hmm. I will request Maulana Sahib, inshallah, to give us any one amal that will take us long way, inshallah.
Well, in summary.
Yes.
Main thing is that you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum of doing the qurban.
Okay.
That's one. The other is that...
Obedient in the sense of person has the wealth and he's not stashing it. He's not stingy. He's not mising with his wealth.
You fulfill
he goes out of his way to find that animal in the best of manners also. Yes. Because Allah has blessed him with wealth. So as Masab said, hukum means now you're not going to waste much time deliberating how to get the animal, where to get it from. You know you got wealth, you know you can purchase it, so purchase it without any ifs and buts. Muasab means that basically?
Yes, absolutely. That, you know what, this is an injunction, it's an order.
All right.
If I fulfill the criteria, I don't have a choice.
Okay.
I have to do it.
Okay.
So all do it with a good heart, with happiness and with sincerity, and spread joy. You'll get multiple rewards.
Mashallah. And now comes a time when we just have our Eidgah to perform, and tomorrow, inshallah, shall be the main day. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place on your Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A journey of a lifetime. From Makkah's light to Zamzam's grace. From Makkah's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of heart through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.